Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And what's going on, everybody? Well, what do we got? We got markets that seem to be now a little bit under pressure. Ever so subtly, things are changing. And it doesn't mean that we're going straight down. You know, again, I want to always remember that, you know, we're not going to predict here. But I think you are starting to see some changes in the way the markets want to trade. And I think there's a number of questions we've got to ask. And I think that the first question to ask is the tax plan any good? And does it mean anything to the market? You know, every pundit in the world wants to make this the story. And I'm wondering, is it the story? And my answer would be, it's, first of all, it's a crappy tax plan. It's got nothing to do with anybody who needs the help. It is more of a plan to really, if you look at the status of the plan and you know, you look at the business part of it, and I don't know why everybody's so excited, and maybe I'm wrong. Again, I don't profess to know the exact answer, but just from a sheer numbers standpoint, I look at it as it's crap for the small business guy. You know, a small business gets tortured more than anybody anyways, right? I mean, if you think about it, and if you're a small business person, think about it like this, okay? You're already at a disadvantage because you're putting, you know, most times we're putting in our own money or family money into a small business. We're borrowing whatever to get there. And, you know, we don't have stockholders yet. You know, again, you might sell off a piece. You know, you might go to the Shark Tank and, you know, get something there. But I mean, at the end of the day, we don't have, we're really, most small businesses go in on a shoestring. You know, you heard the stories about Bill Gates and Steve Jobs starting in the garage. And of course, you know, you have to really, you know, when you go into a business, you got to really, you know, cut down on your expenses and really make it, you know, you got to live tight, you know, and I guess you go to the ramen noodles, right? But, you know, now with the tax plan, which was supposed to be for the middle class, now the 1%, you know, they may invest in big businesses and small businesses, excuse me, but they don't open small businesses. They're already past that point. So the first question is, why does big business pay 20% in the new tax plan and small business pay 25%? Okay. That's number one that really I think is troubling from this tax plan. And I think the Russell index showed you that when it collapsed, it didn't collapse, but it's been down and it's down quite a bit since the plan was announced. So that would be the first thing that we'd look at is the, why does the Russell not like the tax plan? But then if we took into other things that go into small business does not have the ease or the accessibility of funds as big business would have. You know, big business can borrow at cheap rates. A small business cannot, which is what has spurred the growth of these peer-to-peer lending institutions, you know, Cabbage, Prosper, you know, whatever. There's a million of them now, okay? Another overinflated business, all right, that, again, signals that we may be near the end of this run. But if you look at it, okay, you know, small business and big business, all right, so now I have to pay approximately 5% more tax, and this, certainly the 5% means a heck of a lot more to me from a small business standpoint than it does to the bigger guy. Okay. I mean, my margins are tight as it is. And, you know, I have to have employees that, you know, work, you know, that work twice as hard and have to do twice as many jobs versus a big business who hires all these specialists. Okay, now, if I'm in an industry that requires some regulatory issues, I have to pay the same in dollars for a regulatory versus the size of my company. So, and again, I'm giving you an arbitrary number, but let's just say I'm doing $1 million a year in $1 million business, and I got to pay $100,000 in regulatory stuff. All right. Well, the big guy is paying that same $100,000, but I'm paying 10% of my net. They're paying a tenth of a percent. So again, another thing that I believe to be a disadvantage, and I don't understand why we're bringing in more disadvantage, harder things for the middle class, the small business guy to do, because it isn't really a benefit. So where is the fair and equal trade, the fair and equal business model that actually allows for competition? You know, one of the things that I really hate about what's going on is we've destroyed competition. And it's almost as a matter of fact. You know, you look in the retail space, you've got basically two retailers left. You've got Walmart and Amazon. Now, again, there's smaller ones. I get all that. But basically, you got Walmart and Amazon. And they basically just chop everybody up and put them out of business. And not only do they chop everybody up and put them out of business, but they chop them up and put them out of business and rip off their vendors as well. You know, we've said this before on air, but, you know, I'm not as familiar with Walmart, but I am very familiar with Walmart. And they basically, the reason they have vendors is so that they can get the free money for a while. You know, they take net 60 or net 90 or net 120 to pay. So they're not really buying the good. They're buying the money. And they're buying the money cheap because, again, you know, you take, you know, net 90, right? You're getting an extra 6 days of pay. So you've already sold through and paid for that and profited, while the small vendor who's dealing with you, you know, you've consumed all this time, and at any moment you could put them out of business. So, you know, again, I'm not against Amazon or Walmart. I mean, again, I'm a big believer in the capitalistic system. And if you can get bigger than everybody else and be better, great. But I am against when the rules to the game are already a disadvantage to the small business, because that, I think, becomes the problem. Okay? We're already at a disadvantage. And now I've got the disadvantage of cash and money and flow to be able to operate. And that, I think, then creates a problem that we refuse to recognize. And I'm going all the way through right up to the president, right? That, you know, again, why would we want to put together a plan that does not have a tremendous benefit for the middle class to allow them to compete, to create competition, to create better pricing, okay? Because that's what it really does. When you eliminate competition, it takes away pricing power. It takes away all those things that we really need to be better. And that, I think, is we asked the question at the beginning, is that why the tax plan sucks. So that's why, to me, it sucks. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, I urge you to check out my high school investing site, highschoolinvesting.com. You know, I am trying to educate financially young kids so that we can get out of these problems and they can actually recognize it, but also teaching them how to trade and defend themselves so they can earn some money. But in the meantime, I've financed this program for 6 years, and we got 300 high schools, and we'd like to get a lot more, but now we're running out of funds. So if you want to check out Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and make a donation, that'd be great. And of course, we've got some special things for those who hit the upper ends of the donation. In the meantime, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, don't forget to download the show, The Bubba Show, every day at libertytalk.fm. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. I want to remind you that, you know, every day, right after the close, I do an update video, about 3 to 5 minutes. I email it to you, and it's free. All you have to do is just go to BubbaTrading.com and fill out the form, and you're done. You're in. Okay, so I think the tax plan sucks. That's that part of it. And I think that what we've really done here is done more destruction. And what bothers me about it is the way that, you know, the media and the pundits now cover these markets. You know, let's face facts, okay? Nothing ever changes in markets. They're going to always be driven by human emotion. Even if they're computer generated, they're still going to have human emotion programmed in. And they're still, you know, if you've seen the computer trading, you know, it's usually off of a word or something that creates movement, okay? But those words are designed and they do create panic, which is we've seen over the years, some big fancy moves based on one word that might have been in a statement somewhere. But that's not what this is about. So what I'm looking for here is why do the pundits continue to try to sell the fact that the markets are different this time, that it's not the same? You know, I was listening to somebody on Wednesday, and they were talking about, well, you know, the market's at 26 times earnings, but it can handle 26 times earnings because of the low interest rates. And I go, well, wait a second. The low interest rates suck. I mean, it's great if you can get the money, but most can't get the money. But at the end of the day, what are low interest rates telling us? They're telling us that the overall economy is not in great shape, because if it was in great shape, there'd be a huge demand for money and interest rates would be higher. So why is it that the Federal Reserve doesn't feel compelled to have to raise rates? I think the answer is that the economy is not in very good shape. I understand. I've heard the 4% unemployment and the lowest and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, are we actually improving? And I would say the answer would be no. I don't think there's a lot of improvement. I mean, certainly in some areas there's an improvement. But you look at the overall picture, and you know, you've got every advisor trying to get his client or her client into the market. And again, I'm not against being in the market. Okay, let's be clear. All right. I do believe the markets go up year over year, as I've said 1,000 times. And if you can hold and you're not going to get nervous, then it doesn't matter. You can always buy. But why do we have people trying to advise you that the markets are different, they're not going down, and we can take different metrics? You know, again, if you go back to the internet bubble, it was the same story. You know, new economy, old economy. Well, now it's lower interest rates, we can do that. But again, I don't believe the low interest rates are doing anybody any good. I think really what it is helping to more collapse the overall system, because it's forcing investors into one asset class, which is the equity markets. It's forcing central banks into the equity markets. When did we become, or when did central banks become the sole source of focusing on what the equity markets are doing? And then when did they become investors? I didn't read that in the Fed's mandate or the central banking mandate that they were supposed to be investing in markets to hold up and float the markets. Because really all we're really doing is floating with cheap dollars. And, you know, again, that does create less value for what you have. So 10,000 today is probably, you know, the equivalent of 1,000 20 years ago. Now, again, I know we don't have any inflation according to the Fed and according to Janet Yellen and all those idiots. But, you know, I don't know. I just paid $2.90 for gas. You know, 6 months ago, I was paying $2.10. I keep paying more for coffee, for bread, for whatever. So I guess we don't have any inflation, but I keep paying more money. Now, you know, if we're going to be, you know, in a market that this time is different environment, that should be a serious warning to everybody out there. And again, I encourage you to invest in the equity markets. I encourage you to look for good companies that are fundamentally strong, that are buys for technical reasons. I am not at all against that. And again, I am not a perma bear. I mean, I'm bearish here in the short term because, again, I just don't see that this can continue. And not that it won't, but I'm you know, I would assume that, you know, as all these dopes get, you know, more bullish, to me, that would be more of a problem, you know, and almost to a man and a woman, they all get on, you know, the TV and say, this time is different. We're going up. You know, there's no reason for it to go down. And maybe there's not. Maybe this time is different. I don't believe that. But, you know, again, you know, it's like the grass is always greener. You know, it's like running around trying to, you know, leave one thing to go to another. It's like chasing jobs. I mean, life doesn't change that much. Yes, we have a lot better technology. We've got a lot faster way of doing things. But the overall model doesn't change. Okay. And the need for the demand for cash, the demand for money doesn't change either. So you don't think that there's going to be a cash crunch at some time when we need money and somebody's got to start selling? You don't think that somebody's going to ever start to take profits out of this market? You don't think we're ever going to create a little bit of a meltdown? And again, the meltdown is not bad. You know, we talk about corrections like they're a disaster. But the fact of the matter is if you just check out history, and this is where I think we missed the boat. If you check on history, every market meltdown, every market collapse has been met with tremendous buying and actually made the market stronger and made the recovery stronger. Now, again, I don't know what you think about the recovery we've gone through for the last 9 years, but I don't think it's worth a damn. Again, that's just me. I don't see anything that's any good of what they've done over the last since 2009, so it has to be 8 years. I don't see anything that was worth a damn that we've done to make anything better. I see a lot of debt. I see a lot of cheap money. But where is debt going to get us? Do you not think that this debt will eventually have to be satisfied some way? Now, you know, we've had Dr. Bob Swarup on here a couple of times, and he's an economist out of London, and you know, he tells you that they're going to have to forgive a lot of this debt. And, you know, with every other commercial that you hear for credit cards, it's either get this credit card, go to this lender, or relieve your credit card debt. So is that not telling you that there's more issues, that people are building too much credit card debt? Do we not have enough between autos and student loan debt? Yet we want to create more credit card debt as well. And, of course, that's another issue, which we'll talk about, you know, when we get back from the break. But that's another issue that needs to be looked at. Why? Because if you're a bank and you own a credit card, all right, you're giving out a credit card, which let's say charges 9% or 10%, or you're going to lend somebody at 4 or 5%, where do you want them to borrow from? Of course, you want to create them to borrow from their credit card. I mean, it's pretty simple to me. You know, I don't know. I don't know why and where the system became so complicated that we have to, you know, go through all these trials and tribulations and gyrations as to where's the best. And that's another area that the small little guy gets tortured because, again, they don't have those same opportunities or options. You know, credit card debt is murder. It's a killer. Most of the time you're paying usury rates. You think that that's going to help you out? You know, it's always the short-term greed or the short-term fix, I need money, so let me pay whatever it is. I'll pay. I know I'm going to be good. I'll pay it back. And then, of course, you don't get to pay it back, and that debt starts to multiply. And then you're out. Then how can you ever get out of it? And I just don't get that portion of it either. Again, I'm not an economist. I don't play one on the radio. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm, first of all, the only station you need for everything. We've got 24-hour programming here for you. But, of course, there is where you go to download The Bubba Show every day. And, of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And don't forget to get yourself hooked up with, you know, Bubba's Daily Update. You know, BubbaTrading.com is my website. You know, we've got a lot of unique features. And, you know, again, it's always about trying to educate people. I mean, we've got subscription services. But, again, I like to give away a lot of free content because it's my goal to help educate investors and people that need some help understanding how the function and how markets work. So, you know, get yourself signed up for the update. You just go to BubbaTrading.com. It's free. In the meantime, I'm going to step out here for a break, and I'll be back with more after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And so we got football tonight too. Ooh, baby. All right. What am I gonna do when football season's over? All right, so we got into a little bit about debt. All right, and the dangers of debt. And so we look at the United States of America to start with. We've got debt that is bigger than the housing bubble. Right, and this debt is not good debt. This is bad debt because, again, it's either on air for education or it's on depreciating assets, which can't hold any value. You know, the one thing about real estate, I mean, you can hold it. You know, it's not going to depreciate. It may go down, but it typically wouldn't depreciate. So, but we have a society that likes to build more debt. And I asked the question about credit cards. Now, of course, banks would prefer you to use your credit card, because of the ridiculous rates they get on those credit cards. And depending on your credit score, you could be paying, I don't know what the top rate is today. You know, it used to be in the 20% range, 20, 22%. I mean, those are usury rates. Do you realize that you can never pay that back? That's the problem. Okay. Basically, you get on a revolving payment plan. You know, let's say you just charge $3,000. All right. If you're paying, you know, 18%, you're on a revolving plan. That money, that debt doubles every time you don't pay. I mean, it's a crime as to what goes on, especially based on the cost of the money you're borrowing. You want to talk about a profit margin. There's a profit margin, but not. So now we have all this major debt that's mounting every day. We have the debt from cars, you know, auto loans. We have the debt from student loans. We've got the debt the Federal Reserve is creating. We've got the debt that the government's creating. And there's no sign of ever being able to satisfy all this debt. And of course, at the end of the day, who ends up getting punished? You know, if you realize, if you understand the banking system, and I'm not an expert, but understand the banking system, you know, they will negotiate with anybody about rates. You know, once you owe them, you know, they're lending out, you know, if they have $10 in their in reserve, they're lending out 100. So they're getting paid from 10 different people, let's say, as to what they have. And of course, you know, they're out pretty much right away. They just need a couple of payments from everybody, and they've now covered what their actual risk on that money was. All right. So now, you know, they're just collecting. So they make deals all the time. You know, the bigger the loan, the more deals they have to make, because what they're trying to do is just to get you to pay. All right, pay something. Because really what that does is it goes right to the bottom line of profit. But at some point, you run out, and the debt becomes even hard to satisfy. And your people that are borrowing are what happens when you get too far deep in debt, you're no longer a part of the velocity of money. You're no part of a part of the economy. You're just a debt payer that can't do anything else. So you're not creating any new products. You're not creating any new purchasing power. You're actually destructing the purchasing power that we already have. But a lot of these, you know, companies have kind of sold out to get that quick money early with the 0% financing, which, just in full understanding, 0% is not really 0%. Okay. 0% is more like 6 or 7% because of the other perks that go along with it. And for those that can pay for it, they get a better deal. But anyways, that doesn't matter. I mean, it is, that's fine. But the mounting debt, you know, if you get to a point where you're maxed out on your credit cards, for example, and you have no other source, then you're no longer spending. You're just trying to service the debt. So only one industry benefits from you trying to service that debt, and that's, of course, in the bank. Now, is that, does that seem like that would help stimulate the economy? I would hope you wouldn't think so. I mean, that does not. We're not buying a new product. We're just paying for air. We're paying for something that we needed. And of course, that's a common trap that is used by many of these institutions, because they offer you such a good deal to get in. And Americans, being optimists in general, okay, you know, just like farmers, optimists, you know, when they, listen, they borrow $1 million to plant. Excuse me. So now, okay, they get you hooked in and they promise you that 0% for 6 months or a year, whatever it is. I mean, listen, they'll go the longer they have to. Why? Because you get locked in and then you can't pay it back anyways. And then they revert the interest all the way back to day one at a ridiculous rate. And there you are, just trying to service your debt. Well, again, how does that work? It doesn't work out very well in the way that I look at it. You know, debt is the danger of everything. And unfortunately, small business guys and gals have to, most times, have to take on debt, because first of all, it's smarter, instead of tying up all of your own personal cash into your business, because you know, there's always that time we need that emergency fund to be able to grab to. So if you're not getting a line of credit where you have a reasonable rate, then you better hold some cash back so we have to borrow. And of course, then what happens is we go into a rough cycle and the business is tough, and then I got to start paying all this interest. Cuts down on my profits. It cuts down on my opportunity to stay in business. And of course, all I did was help the banks make more money while I'm servicing my debt. And, you know, these are the issues that come along. And of course, that then sprouted up the businesses of, well, you don't have to pay all your credit card debt. Okay, beat the credit card. And that ties into how broken down I believe the banking system is. I think the banking system is a crock. I don't like the shadow banking. I don't like the way that they're able to lend out. And I've said this many times before. I don't believe that any of them have enough in reserve to cover the amount of money that they have on the street. Okay, so when you allow not only the Federal Reserve, which is the granddaddy bank of them all, to print money, and then you allow any bank to basically print money, what have you not created? You've devalued the currency, which, you know, again, you can look at it however you want, but some say, you know, it's worth, you know, it's lost 97% of its value since the Fed's been in operation. Again, I don't know that. That's beyond my comprehension. But I do know that I make more money dollar-wise, but it goes a lot less further than it used to go. That I do know. And I don't think that's supposed to be the correct relationship. But, of course, that is how the Federal Reserve and the government allows me to go ahead and pay back their stupid spending, their clueless operation of an economy. Because, again, if any one of us ran our businesses like the Federal Reserve was run, or like the government was run, what would we have? We'd be broke. We'd be in jail. We'd be in bankruptcy court. Now, do you think that that's the way to go? And I think that ties back to this tax plan. This tax plan does nothing, the way that I read it, for the middle class. And this state and local tax deduction, you know, look, I think it should still be able to be deducted. But I don't think that the government should have to have so much money. So there's two sides of this coin. You know, I live in one of the worst states in the world, in Illinois, which either the governors are criminals, the mayor's an idiot, and they just want to keep, you know, raising taxes. Why would I want to live here? And believe me, I would not live here, you know, other than I take care of my mother. Right. I would not live. I would be in a tax-free state. I don't understand why the government feels that they can spend my money better than I do. They've never proven the ability to handle money. They are worse than I don't know what would be the age of a kid that doesn't know any better and just spends because it doesn't realize that you have to get it from somewhere. That's what we deal with every day. And, you know, again, if we could just do an audit, and I'm not even talking about auditing the Fed necessarily, I would like to just see a general audit of everything that the government actually spends, not through their stupid, crooked budget, okay, but actually what goes on. Because I do know, as a fact, that many projects are well overpaid for. And the amount of money that could be saved by just doing it right and not getting ripped off, and willfully ripped off, okay, not you know, sneakily, but willfully. You know, because again, you get a government contract, you know, how many people do you know that have government contracts that are billionaires because they make so much money and their profit margins are so ridiculously high because nobody checks them out? Because typically somebody's on the take. And somebody on the inside, you know, I go back a little bit off topic, but I go back to Bernie Madoff. I'd bet my life that somebody from the inside, namely probably the SEC, knew what Bernie Madoff was doing, and it still hasn't come out yet. But there's no way that that guy could get away with what he was doing without somebody knowing. It was as clear as a bell of what the problem was. So, again, I don't see where we are gaining any space. To me, we're walking in the sand. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and, of course, I want to remind you to check out my highschoolinvesting.com website. Also, you know, you can help us out. We're, you know, giving financial literacy to high school students in 300 high schools. Been doing it for 6 years and now running out of capital. So if you check it out and you think it's good, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, anybody who does donate, we've got some special perks and things that are our way to give back to you for helping us. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. In the meantime, don't forget libertytalk.fm. You can download the show every single day. And of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends, that's, you know, always something. And of course, the boys have done a great job. And if you're a fan, you know, we're going to have our selection later, but they also have, they do a great job with their handicapping. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break and come back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the final segment on Thursday, November 6th. It's already Thanksgiving, actually. Can you believe it? Jeez Louise. Anyways, how time flies when you get old, man. That time goes by fast. But, all right, so, you know, we've got all kinds of issues, but nobody cares. Does that ever bother you that nobody gives it a second thought? Nobody ever talks about the major debt, and every time I'm on TV and I bring it up, they kind of just slough it by like it's no big deal. And this is the perfect time. And I think, you know, we talk about Bitcoin, we talk about other investment classes. Do you realize what's going on now in the Bitcoin? Okay. And again, I'm not against it. You know, I was against it. You know, again, full disclosure, if you've listened to me for the amount of time I've been in the air, I bashed it originally because I didn't understand it. And the more I've come to understand it, the more I believe that it's a valid asset class that will be something. You know, it may not be Bitcoin, but it'll be something. Will be more in the mainstream. That's evident because of the Mercantile Exchange and the CBOE. They're not putting up products unless they believe they're real. So, but what I don't understand now is, you know, you've got somehow they went from not being able to get ETFs, not being able to get things to represent their product in the open market in regulated exchanges, to now being going to have a product at both exchanges and then getting approval to offer Bitcoin in an IRA. And of course the commercials are out, you know, double your IRA in the next 3 years, whatever. Okay. Now, again, I'm not saying that Bitcoin won't go up. It could go to a billion. I'm not telling you where it's going to go, but I'm saying from a market standpoint, it has a bigger favorability of collapsing here for a little bit before it comes back. You know, we just make the simplest comparison of all, which is gold. In 2011, gold was $1,900 an ounce. Jim Cramer was going crazy. Buy, buy, buy. We got to go. And that's when I got kicked off of CNBC because Jim Cramer, I said that he was nuts, that he was wrong with gold. And not that I knew more than anybody else, but again, one of the things we do know is when markets get wild, they typically settle back down. And I do now. I now think that gold is now working back into a, I think it's in a flat market, but I think the bear market part is over, and I think we start to see a rally. But at the end of the day, okay, what happened in 2011? If we go back and visit for, you know, 6-7 years ago, and well, every corner we were popping up gold stores because gold was so expensive. Buy gold, we're buying your gold, we'll buy your gold. Well, okay, that's fine. And of course, what happened? That was the top of the market, and now all those gold stores are out of business. right? So now we've got Bitcoin stores starting to pop up. We've got Bitcoin IRAs. We've got advertising, people spending millions of dollars to advertise this Bitcoin. And what's their angle? Okay. Again, you always got to remember that anybody who's advertising is trying to make a profit on something. So what's their angle? Well, A, they probably screw you. None of this is factual. This is my opinion. They probably screw you on the exchange rate, first of all. You know, that's a wild exchange. And because it's not regulated yet, you know, bid offers are ridiculous. And they change very quickly. So you probably get screwed on the exchange rate. There's probably some fee buried in there. And, you know, what is your chances of getting out if you need to? And again, I don't know that it's not good. I don't know that it won't be the greatest thing ever. But I would certainly be very leery of taking my entire IRA, which is the way they're pitching it, and having you put everything into that. Now, I think that you invest in them. I think it's probably a good investment. You know, even maybe even here at the current price, I don't know. Right? But again, no investment is worth putting everything into it. No investment. Because again, the problem with investing and putting everything into one class is, what if you need the money? And what if that one class is not performing when you need the money? Then you have to sell it down in the hole, which obviously usually creates market collapses. All right, again, this is not something new. This has been going on forever. So my simple point is this, that you want to open a Bitcoin IRA? I have no problem. You know, open one with, you know, whatever you want to put in, 2,000 or split your IRA. Again, I'm not against it. I do see some selling. And again, one of the things I always worry about with others is that they get too deep with one class, and then that class goes bad, even if it's only for a short period of time. But what happens? You panic, you puke, you get out because you can't take the pressure. So isn't it easier to be more equally invested around different asset classes so that one doesn't take you down? And I think that's what we always miss out on, is the one that takes us down. For every person that put everything into one asset class and made it, probably a million people didn't. And that's what I think is, you know, if you remember science, a million to one shot, Doc, a million to one shot. And that, maybe it's not that high, but again, it's not a smart proposition. Okay. That's what we're talking about, is using some common sense and some real logic to help focus, to put ourselves in a better overall position. That is what it comes down to. You know, purely just straight investing, straight buying stock, you know, taking $100 a month or $200, whatever it is you can afford, and throwing it into the stock market, okay, in good companies or good mutual funds, you're going to make a lot of money over time. But you have to first not put that money in that you're going to need tomorrow. You know, we keep hearing this example of, you know, over half the American families don't have $400 to, you know, for an emergency. Well, you know, I can believe that. I can see that. And why is it? Well, it's because we don't get the truth about what's going on in the economy, because we don't have good jobs, because we have a lousy healthcare system, because we have a government that is broken that only wants to take care of their own. So, you know, if you don't think that the middle class is on the outside looking in, well, you better think again, because that's exactly where we are. We're on the pay no mind, except when we have to raise taxes or do something that we can torture the middle class with and make them pay more money. You know, it reminds me of a job I had back in the 70s that, you know, it was a compensation plan. And every year they changed the compensation plan, so I had to work 10% harder to make the same money I made the year before. It doesn't sound like much, but again, that's where we are, and that's where we go, and that's why I think that everything is a mess. That's why I think the tax plan stinks. That's why I think the pundits stink. That's why I think the government stinks, is because, again, they're not creating true opportunity for us or for me. They're creating ways I have to work harder to achieve the same goal. And I'm not afraid of work. I'm just saying that, you know, when does it come equal to me? When do I get the Warren Buffett deal? You know, when do I get the, you know, those deals? And again, I'm not saying I should get Warren Buffett's deal, but I mean that, you know, when do I get those deals? You know, when do I start to say, well, I'm not paying enough taxes. I want to pay more. And again, nobody wants to do that. But of course, you know, when you're in the headlines, you can say things like that because, you know, you look like you're a hero instead of a schmuck that you are. And that's what I don't get about all this, is that we continue to forgive and think that these things are not important when they're as important as can be. And it's time for the United States of America to have everybody living under the same opportunity. And it shouldn't be separated because I've got more money, because I've got better lobbyists. It shouldn't be because of all the other things in life. It should be a fair and equal shot that I can then, if I'm better at it than you, I can separate myself and become bigger. But again, yeah, that's just one man's opinion. But certainly, I think the system as it stands is broken. And until we drain the swamp and cut with the crap, it's going to be like that. And of course, that's why we are in the mess we are today, because of the clueless, idiotic decisions that are made for us, not by us. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Of course, we always have to make our selection. Tonight's game, we're going to take the Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota, +7, and look for possibly a straight-up win. And, of course, remember, libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every single day and The Sporting Edge on the weekends, and make sure you check it out. We have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. It's always fun and enjoyable to be here with you every single day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. We'll see you later. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everybody. See you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.